Who would I be to keep you down, Golbash? Who would I be?
I don't know. Who would you be?
I don't know. I wouldn't be anybody that would really be effective to the future life and career of Mr. Andrew Golbash. What a way to start! This is the fourth edition of season two of Baldwin and the Burke. How we got that far without getting thrown off the air, I don't really know. I think the show's just, you know, pretty good. Maybe that's why the ratings are just that great. That
the high quality ratings.
Yeah, they just can't. They can't.
The ratings
us
that
off.
Are invisible that we just can't see.
Yeah, hey, half of Baldwin is listening, and they are and we are making them proud. At least, hopefully.
That's something Mark Madden would say. He always loves to go, "Oh, my ratings are tremendous."
You know why,
and
Nate?
Well, like, no one knows his.
Well,
ratings.
Nate, this is what it's all. This is what it's all about. So, here we are. Baldwin and the Burke, episode 21, maybe. But episode 4 of the semester.
Maybe.
We know that for sure.
We don't know.
Go around the horn. Austin Bechtold here with you.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And I'm Andrew Golbash.
Checking in here on this Friday. Today is October 16th, 2020. Moving along. This is week 7 of the Robert Morris semester. That is where we go to school, and that is what we do.
And that is why we are on Army
Radio.
That
is why we are here. Just like the bookstore, it is our job to be here on the radio today. It is the Steelers' job to play the Cleveland Browns this week. It is rivalry week against Cleveland, with the Steelers hosting their fourth straight home game after the delayed postponement of the Tennessee Titans game to now being in a couple weeks. So, Steelers are 4-0. Cleveland is 4-1. Cleveland's coming off, you know, I mean, come on. Cleveland had a pretty decent win.
Yeah, it was a good win. Gets a good Colts defense.
Yeah, Cleveland really gutted it out against Indianapolis. Their running game is pretty good, obviously, with Kareem Hunt. Having no Nick Chubb is going to be a big factor in this game. But looking at it, in a 32-23 win for Cleveland at home, really, Baker Mayfield is really what stood out to me in that game, too, even though their run was really good. Baker has been more efficient this year. He's been, I'd like to say, smarter with the football, even though he did throw two interceptions. I think it's just the timely plays that Baker makes is really what's been separating him from this season to past seasons.
I agree. I mean, he's been playing solid football as of late. I mean, as you said, I mean, it's not like he hasn't been less, like, turnover. He's had, like, the same amount of turnovers, maybe a little less, but he has had the ability to make the big play whenever the team needs him to, just when the team starts to get down. And as you said, that running game with Kareem Hunt, D'Ernest Johnson, Dontrell Hilliard, just a whole bunch of dudes that can just go out there and hurt you. They're constantly throwing in guys, and it'll be a tough for the Steelers defense.
Before we do a deep dive on the Browns, let's go back and recap the Eagles game. Steelers had, you know, a little bit closer than people would have thought. Ended up being a 38-29 game at home against Philadelphia, to the point where Jonathan Vilma, before at the beginning of the broadcast, was like, "Oh, well, the Steelers know they're going to win." So, you know, as long as they just...
It's one of the Steelers games.
I said on the show last week, it was a typical Steelers game.
Yeah, and I also saw a sign that on the broadcast, the fans were allowed back into the stadium. They only had, like, I think it was like 4,500 fans there when they were allowed 5,500, which did not make much sense to me. But one of the fans in the stadium had a sign that said, "Cry, Eagles, cry on the road to defeat," which I thought was very convenient and ended up being very true. Miles Sanders is kind of eliminated, other than one big run in the end of the first quarter where he had a 74-yard run. I believe he ended up with 80 yards rushing, yeah, and
so
74 of them were on
so,
one rush.
So he got basically 6 yards. Unreal. He got 6 yards the rest of the game.
Outside of one big play.
And
yeah.
That's another running back that the Steelers have sort of kept, you know, at bay, including Saquon Barkley in the first game.
Right. Travis Fulgham, who really balled out for Philadelphia after scoring the game-winning touchdown in last week's game to give the Eagles their first win. Great job, Eagles. You got to win.
Great job, Eagles.
Charles Fulgham had 10 catches for 152 yards and a touchdown, shredding Steven Nelson.
It was basically a one-receiver showdown between both teams.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. Nelson and a couple of times Hilton, they had great coverage on Fulgham.
He was just – I mean, you can potentially attest that to Wentz. He threw a couple of good balls where, like, Hilton and them just – the only person who can make a play on the ball was Travis Fulgham.
Right, all those Philadelphia fans that are calling for Carson Wentz's head. He was 25 of 35 for 258 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 picks. I think that just by watching that game, you notice that it's not all Carson Wentz's fault. He's throwing to nobody. I don't know who's blocking, but they're not doing a great job. Carson Wentz was sacked five times.
That line's so beat up.
So how about this? I just saw this. This would be a good irrelevant fact of the day, but since it's a Steelers discussion, we'll run with it now. The Steelers' defense right now, with another 5-sack game, they're on pace for 80 sacks on the season. The 1984 Bears set the record for sacks in a season with 72.
They would blow away that record.
They
would destroy it.
They have the team to do it. They have the defense
to do it. Yeah, as you said, they have the defense to do it. They even have corners who are good at blitzing and getting to the quarterback. I mean, this is definitely the team to do it if they have a shot at it.
Yeah, it would. And, you know, the big playmaker who made all the big splash plays, as Tomlin likes to put it, on Sunday against Philadelphia, Chase Claypool. 4 total touchdowns, recreating the Tom Brady meme. Or Brady didn't know if it was fourth down or third down or the end of the game.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nate saw that, and that's good. Chase Claypool, here's his stat line. 7 catches, 110 yards, 3 receiving touchdowns, and rushing, he had 6 yards and also a touchdown in 3 attempts.
The man Mapletron.
Golvash, we were texting back and forth during the game about how great Chase Claypool looked. What did you think about his just catch-making ability? And what really stood out to me is his quickness after catching the ball.
That's another thing I was going to say, because that was his only question coming out of the draft, is how fast is he really going to be and how quick he's going to be able to get off of receivers and be able to make plays and stuff like that. And then, but yeah, I was also like, I don't know if you saw the one, but the one touchdown he had that got called back, I mean, he made an unbelievable catch on the football, and he was just able to just basically destroy whoever was covering him. I think it was Jalen Mills, or I'm not quite too sure who it was, but he just made unbelievable play after play after play, and he really just becoming a star in the making for the Steelers offense.
You know, the top threat on the Steelers receiving core, but you know, is it a one hit wonder sort of in this game, because there's a lot of weapons that Ben can throw to. So you wonder how effective Claypool, he's going to be effective, don't get me wrong, but how often Ben's going to look for Claypool and how often they figure him in there.
It's just going to be a matchup thing. Yeah. He was burning every receiver, every corner they threw on him. They threw Slay, they threw Mills, I think they threw Avante Maddox in there every now and then on him. I mean, no matter what they did, you just couldn't stop him. He was unstoppable. Same with Fulgham. And then, as we were saying again, I mean, his speed is enough. I mean, how fast do you think he was running out there? Because like whenever I see like the rushing touchdowns or even the big splash play he had a couple weeks ago for that 84-yard touchdown. For what? Oh,
looks like we're having a little bit of audio problems on the outside coming back in. So I've been looking at it right now. It looks like our Mac here is just, for some reason, cutting in and out. You could just see the on-air light is just blinking, and I don't really know what the problem is. But Nate is going to see if we can get that fixed. Nate, why don't you go to the app and listen to it? Go over there for a second and maybe tune it in, or you're relaying a message. I'm not really sure what's going on.
Great.
We tried. Hey, this is a Friday. This is like an edition of the Friday Funnies. Or something. I don't know.
We can use this in the blooper reel if we ever need to.
Yeah, this would be a nice blooper. So, Golvash, how was your Friday morning?
It was great. I woke up. I drove here.
Oh, I did the same thing.
And then I entered the passcode. And then I sat in the one seat I wasn't supposed to sit in because that was supposed to be Nate's seat.
Correct.
And then I moved my seat. And now we're here. How was your day, Austin? How was your Friday morning?
Well, my Friday morning entailed me waking up and then 10 minutes later me getting in my car and driving because I woke up kind of late. And did that work?
Could Nate
have solved the problem?
Could it have worked?
You know what? I think, Nate, what we should try to do is go to the Radio FX app, the official sound of RMU Radio, and tune in and try to see if our station is on there. So, Nate, would you like to do that as my service is now cutting out?
I will go to Radio FX as well.
Thank you for your generosity.
Loading stations.
I will go to Radio FX as well.
See, we sound fine now.
Loading stations.
See?
Loading stations.
Can you hear Golvash on the playback?
Radio FX as well.
See, we sound fine now. See, there we go. All right, never mind. Looks like we're good. I don't know. What?
It wasn't until you stopped talking that it started cutting in and out of our show, the on-air, off-air.
What?
Well, I don't know what's happening, but for the Podbean listeners, I don't think it's going to matter because it's recording right here.
The Podbean.
It's fine, the Podbean. So
the Bean Pod.
And as long as it doesn't affect Mystery Caller.
I think it... It might. We'll be what fine. If it does?
Nate says that the audio still seems okay. So let's just keep going. Let's keep going. As we mentioned, Chase Claypool's big week versus the Philadelphia Eagles entailed four touchdowns, a lot of yards, and just a big...
Just a variety of splash plays.
Yes, a lot of splash plays, some memes, a lot of jersey sales, and a happy Mike Tomlin saying, still, he's still got a lot to learn. He's still a rookie.
He's still a rookie.
So we saw Chase Claypool break out against Philadelphia in the de facto fourth game of the season for the Steelers. Let me ask you, in this game coming up against the Cleveland Browns, Nate says we're good. Nate, you are our audio connoisseur. So I want to thank you for finding a way to fix the audio.
I'm like the new Joe Hale, but of Army Radio.
Yeah, you're like Malik coming in here and just dominating. It just comes in here and knows what to
and
do.
And just knows exactly what
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, I figured maybe it was just a wire, a plug, a cord, just like, you know, maybe press a couple buttons here. But
hey,
you
don't
know,
touch that.
Nate was doing a great job.
Do not touch.
I did not touch those knobs or cords. I touched the other knobs and cords.
Okay.
Just not the sure. point. So, Govash, as we get back on track, because I don't think anybody liked to listen to us banter for the last 5 minutes.
Agreed.
Who?
It's like your new little banter podcast almost.
Ooh.
It's like, I mean, how do you say that?
All right,
and then
fine.
Be like,
all right, fine. Let's talk about that for a second right now.
What?
All right.
What?
All right, whatever. So
he doesn't pay attention. He doesn't know what's going on.
No, Govash should not pay attention at all. So last night, for our loyal listeners like Alex Tarrant, who's now going to be mad at me that I say this.
Oh, I saw this. I saw this.
Alex Tarrant and the TJ boys, like Andy, who's a big ball and football player, Isaiah, Connor Dalton. You guys don't know Connor, but
Do you know Connor? He came here. I saw him.
He goes to RMU.
Yeah, I saw him a couple times.
And who else is on there? I don't know. Maybe Chad. I don't know.
Chad.
Alex, text me if you're listening and let me know. But they did they started a podcast, and their group is called The Unit. So their podcast is called The Unit Talks, or The Unit Speaks, or something like that. And basically, they just talk about their lives. And then I was like, oh, our lives are very interesting. So
very interesting.
Let's do something to the extent of that. So I texted our group chat, and I said, we are doing this right away. Pouch agreed. Not surprised. Joey agreed. Not surprised. Exler agreed.
Not surprised.
Not surprised. John Ziegler, we had to kind of convince him. But then at the time, he was like, yeah, I'll do a podcast. Awesome. Jared Koenig was not very confident in his abilities to do a podcast with us. He wasn't sure.
You just got to talk.
He wasn't sure what the real meaning of it was.
What is a podcast?
A podcast is great. A podcast is what we are doing right now, basically. At least the radio show becomes a podcast. So we have to do that soon, because that'll be a lot of fun. And I'll have a lot of things to talk about if we're just bantering. But and the last podcast, they did Andy's Perfect 2021. And it was basically just the stuff that was kind of unrealistic. And basically,
nothing that's realistic about 2020 and 2021. For the foreseeable future.
That is a good point. So in our group chat, Nick Tarrant blew up our group chat with me, Andy, Alex, Colin, and Nick, and myself. And I texted at the end, I wonder how Colin's going to feel when he wakes up and sees 45 text messages tomorrow morning.
Colin's probably going to be like, what in God's name happened
so
here?
So that's that. Back to the Steelers now.
Back to the Blurs.
Back to that. We saw Chase Claypool break out last week, as I probably have said twice already.
Multiple.
Who do you think is going to be the big breakout player for this week's Cleveland Browns game? Nate, I'll start with you.
Give me Ray McCloud.
Ray.
He figured, you know, the return man, but he figured in last week.
Did you know that if you combine my dad's name and my middle name, it would be Ray? Yeah.
There you go.
Can you believe
Whoa.
That?
Take it easy there.
Not as talented on the football field as Ray McCloud, but we do have some turkey bowls that we're racking up between us.
Yeah, but I think Ray, I mean, he came in 63 yards rushing. I know there were a couple end-arounds and little trickery plays, but I don't know. I think you could throw him in, maybe a receiver, give him a shot. I know oftentimes you don't allow your kick returners to really get on that side of the ball, but never know. He could be that secret weapon that the Steelers continue to just sort of have great play calling the past couple weeks. Throw him in there at receiver and give him some shots. Do another end around or two with him.
And I'm going to go with the man who's been awfully quiet so far this season, Juju Smith-Schuster. I think he has a big game this week. I mean, of course, he hasn't had as big a game as he had maybe since the first game he got it when he played the Giants. But I think he has a chance to break out against a Cleveland team that doesn't really have the greatest passing defense, and I think he has a chance to do some damage this week.
Yeah, my breakout is one guy that's kind of been banged up all season long, Deontay Johnson, with a back injury. He was limited on practice on Thursday. We'll do a little bit of a deep dive into the practice report in a little bit. But Johnson, you know, coming into the season, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of others, thought that Johnson was the number one receiver. And, you know, I think why we saw Juju ball out week one is Johnson was able to take a lot of the defense went to Johnson because of just how effective he was last season with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph throwing him the ball. That I thought Juju was able to thrive off that. And, you know, Juju has said he wants Deontay Johnson out there. I think part of that is Deontay takes the defense with him, and it creates a lot more opportunities for Juju, which I think is why you really haven't been able to see, other than the injuries, Johnson be able to really produce this season. I think also part of it now with the emergence of Claypool, the Browns are going to put a little bit of attention on him. So if you're doubling either Juju or Claypool, there's going to be opportunities for Deontay Johnson or James Washington, another guy that I'm looking at.
So, I mean, we talked about the Steelers' defense potentially threatening the sack record in the NFL. But another thing that might be one of the best in a long time for the Steelers is the receiving core. Yep. This might be their most versatile receiving core in a long time. I mean, just last game they had seven guys that can go out there and catch the ball and be a reliable source.
Almost every option they have is a deep play, and everyone's a threat.
Every option you have can have a game like Claypool. It's not like there's a guy that's just going to be your guy you throw to for 5 yards every time.
It's almost like, you know, who's it going to be next? Is it going to be Johnson? Is it going to be Juju? Is it going to be Claypool? Or even Ebron have a big game?
And that's the one great thing about this team. There's so many different moving parts that makes this as a team as a whole so good. That's why they're 4-0. That's why they're 4-0. And yes, competition level hasn't been so high yet, but now you see the Browns coming in.
It's a true test.
Their toughest game to date, but they have all the intangibles to be, you know, a stellar football team this year.
Agreed. They have a chance. They have a shot at being really, really good this year. And they, as we said, this game against the Browns is going to be a true testament to how good they really are this year.
Yeah, right. Big rivalry. Cleveland coming in. Steelers are currently 3.5-point favorites on the Browns. It's kind of just a home field advantage thing, even though there really isn't many fans.
Even though there's no home field advantage.
Still kind of viable. Roethlisberger's been great this season. He's got a rating of 110.4. 10 touchdowns and one pick. That's one of the best ratios that he's had in his career early on in the season.
He's playing some of the best football of his life.
Let's go to the injury report now. Ben, as always, did not practice on Wednesdays for a Veterans Day off. Same thing with Stephon Tuitt. They all returned, obviously, on Thursday for full participation. Deontay Johnson, as I mentioned earlier, the wide receiver, has a back injury. He was limited in practice. Juju had a knee injury. He's been a full participant. Marcus Allen and Derek Watt, linebacker and fullback, respectively, both missed last week's game against Philadelphia with foot and hamstring injuries, respectively. They were both full participants. Marquise Pouncey has been battling a foot injury since the game against the Eagles. He also was full in practice, but can't say the same for David DeCastro. He's been battling injuries all year. Now an abdominal injury. He was the only one that did not practice in any way, shape, or form. Eric Ebron and TJ Watt were battling hand and shoulder injuries. They were both full participants. Now, look at Cleveland now. A couple noteworthy players for the Cleveland Browns that really haven't seen much time. Odell Beckham is battling an illness, not COVID-19, though, so he did not practice. Ronnie Harrison, their safety, is currently in a concussion protocol, and he did not practice. That's going to be a big player to watch out for if he don't play. He had a nice game last week against the Colts. I believe he had a pick six. Kareem Hunt, with the thigh injury, has been limited. I wonder if that's going to hamper him during the game. Carl Joseph had a hamstring injury. He did not practice, as did Jarvis Landry with hip and rib injuries. Baker Mayfield has been limited in practice this week with a chest injury. Same thing with Larry Ogunjobi with an abdominal. The Browns, their injury list just piles up. Olivier Vernon limited with a groin injury. J.C. Treader with a knee limited. I expect most of those players to play.
Yeah,
it's Steelers week.
Most of the people will play on that. The only person I could see maybe not playing, Landry, maybe, but I think he'll play.
No, I think everybody on that list is going to play instead of, and maybe not Ronnie Harrison if he doesn't get out of concussion protocol. So that's your Steelers-Browns preview for the week. Now let's go into the NBA Finals unless anybody else has anything to say on the Steelers.
No, cool. All was good.
NBA Finals, Lakers, Lake Show, L.A. Bron.
L.A. Bron.
4-2 was your series final in six by the Lakers. Another irrelevant thing that I found. Some guy in their yearbook from the 2018-19 graduating class in high school put his note in his yearbook, Lakers in six to win 2020 NBA Finals.
That's just a bold take to put in your yearbook. That. I mean, I'm sure there's thousands of those every year, so it's not surprising. But
how crazy that would have been if you would have said the Heat.
Yeah, if you said the Heat, it would be, I think, a lot different.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you see it all the time on Instagram. You really do.
Yeah, you ever watch
that? Random people just saying this is going to happen.
L.A. Bron, though. So L.A. Bron wins the MVP.
They already had LeBron,
That was no surprise.
So LeBron wins his fourth championship and his fourth MVP, even though Anthony Davis did have a phenomenal series. It deserved to go to LeBron.
It deserves to go to LeBron.
He's not the MVP of the regular season, even though he really should be. So give him the MVP of the finals. I think he's completely okay with that trade-off. So as we said, big series for Anthony Davis. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope balled out. Rajon Rondo was also
phenomenal. Playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo showed out again. So what was your big takeaway from the finals? And I think it was a great, impressive performance from the Miami Heat. I think Jimmy Butler is going to come back again stronger than I think he was even this year. I think he continues to improve, and that team is really built around him, and it's built around toughness and shooting and even inside game. It's really a well-rounded team.
It's a great team, and then I also heard
plays defense.
And then people are going to want to go there too. There's for any big free agents are willing to go. Giannis maybe. I heard they might try and pursue him.
Giannis in 2021.
I think a lot of people are going to try to pursue Giannis.
Well, yeah, but do you think he'd go there? Do you think he'd go to Miami?
It's definitely enticing, but
I still don't think he's leaving Milwaukee.
You don't think he's leaving?
He said 2 weeks ago that he wants to be there long term in Milwaukee.
I can tell you countless players have said they want to be somewhere long term and then they end up leaving. But it depends.
It's the
NBA. He could stay in Milwaukee, but I don't know. There's a slight chance of him leaving. But, yeah, my biggest takeaway is the Heat team. I mean, they shocked everybody.
Yeah, I think they stuck around a little bit longer in the finals than
I mean, that game 5 performance was one of the most gutsy efforts I've ever seen by a player ever.
I called a sweep, and the Heat, like we said, stuck around and just
I thought I was going to be right with it in 5, and then Jimmy Butler he went crazy, and then Austin's prediction was right.
Yeah,
Where
Austin was right. Originally predicted Lakers in 6. I just figured that Miami, they're a good, well-rounded defensive team that can grind out victories even when battling injuries. I just thought that that's what was going to happen in terms of a couple games that we're going to break Miami's way at the end. Seems like that's what ended up being a little bit of the turning point at some spots to be able to get to a 6-game series. But in the end, I think there was no question in a lot of people's mind that LeBron and the Heat were just going to – or LeBron used to play for the Heat. He won 2 championships
there. Yeah, exactly.
But that LeBron and the Lakers were going to pull it out for now LeBron's fourth title in a lot of tries. 4 with Miami, he won 2. 5 with Cleveland, he won 2. And now 1 with the Lakers, he's 1-for-1.
He's 1-for-1. He's batting 1,000.
He's batting 1,000. That's your NBA season. Not really sure when the NBA will be back, but now they're out of the bubble. Okay. The virtual parade, I guess, is on for the Lakers. Not really sure what's going on with them.
Not sure how they're going to do that.
But they won it for Kobe, and that's what matters. Now to the playoffs that are still going on. Major League Baseball, Dodgers and the Rays taking on Atlanta, and the Rays are taking on the Astros. I said Dodgers and Rays first because that's still my World Series prediction.
It's getting into jeopardy.
Yeah, because currently right now the Rays were up 3-0 on the Astros, and now it's a 3-2 series with Carlos Correa hitting a walk-off home run in last night's game in the bottom of the 9th inning. So, Nate, let's go first to the Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves. You, I guess, saw this coming with Atlanta. They're up 3-1.
I didn't.
I still think the Dodgers are coming back and finding a way.
I mean, you always got to go kind of against the Dodgers. There's nothing that ever, proves to me that they're going to be a team that can win a championship. Yes, they've found themselves in the World Series, but they can never get it done. They're a team that's sort of in that endless loop of just, getting to the National League Championship Series or the World Series, and then they just fall flat on their face. And this is another example. I mean, Atlanta has a good lineup, don't get me wrong, and they had some good pitching that sort of has emerged onto the scene, but they're playing lights out, 10-2 in game four to take a 3-1 commanding lead over the Dodgers. Insane.
I mean, if you want to talk about pitching, I mean, Bryce Wilson, I mean, I was looking, he looked dominant out there. He was going toe-to-toe with Clayton Kershaw for almost for every inning. I mean, it was almost, they played basically lights out baseball for as long as I watched, and then I guess I turned it off and it must have became a blowout later. But it was an unreal game, and I think it really does put the Dodgers backs against the wall, which is another thing why I think they might not be as good as winning, because they never really face much adversity. They don't really go on a whole lot of losing skids, and then whenever they do start to go on those skids, they don't really know how to like react to that and be able to feed off that.
Exactly. Throughout the regular season, I mean, they're the top dog.
They're the top dog every year.
They just sort of ride along the top, and they're the best team. They get towards 100 wins. And when it comes to the playoffs, though, you're getting every team's best. And that's what I think just ends up being their downfall.
Exactly.
And their only win this year in the series was a commanding 15-3 game.
And whoever they just jumped whoever they did.
I mean,
Kyle Wright.
Yeah, the Kyle Wright, they jumped him. Really,
I mean, fast. Early they were up. What was it? 11 in the first inning.
11 in the first. Yep. It's a record. No one's ever done that
in any inning in the playoffs.
I mean, they showed what they can do, but they haven't been able to
maintain.
What
is it with the Braves and giving up big leads in the first inning? Because they did it last year against St. Louis.
Yeah, they did. Clayton Kershaw wasn't great. 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, 4 strikeouts, a walk. You know, Kershaw's been pretty decent this playoffs, but
it's a vintage playoff Kershaw.
Well, I think he's been battling some injuries, which is why he was scratched to start. I believe it was game 3. He was supposed to start one game this week that he was scratched for, and then he was bumped to game 4. So I don't know. I still like the Dodgers pitching. I don't trust Atlanta. I still don't trust Atlanta. But whenever they throw out their Bryce Wilson, and he's able to go out there and give up 1 hit through 6. And it's a home run.
Exactly.
Atlanta, their bullpen is dominant with Shane Green back there and Will Smith, and Melanson's been good. Mark Melancone from the old video games. That's what they called him, Mark Melancone. I still believe in the Dodgers because of their bats. And I believe that the next game coming up is going to be, I believe it might be Walker Buehler. If it is Walker Buehler, I give it to the Dodgers.
It's Dustin May they have right
now.
Dustin
May.
Slated.
He might give him a good. He might give them a good run. And then, do we know who's going for the Braves?
Toby, that's still not determined yet.
They still don't know.
Nope.
Interesting. And to think that the Braves are doing this without Soroka.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
And it's the great thing about baseball is you see guys, especially pitchers, step in that you're like, who are these guys? They come in and out, especially in the bullpen, and it's like, where do these guys come from? And they're just making a name for themselves in just one postseason, and then like the next one, they're gone. It's just how it is.
Well, as you said, that's just how it is with relievers. They're just in, they're in and out. They're like constantly.
Even sometimes with
pieces.
Starting pitching, like there's a year there's someone who's insane, and then the next year they're just not.
They're out.
They're not the way they used to be. But the Dodgers, I still think, make this more of a series. I think this could go the distance. Because the Dodgers aren't going to go down lightly this year.
No, I believe that as well. Because do you think the Dodgers have to like just? I think Roberts has to go if they can't pull it off this year. What do you think about that, Austin? Do you think you fire Roberts?
I don't know. With all the talent that you have, you might have to. I mean, I like Dave Roberts. I think he's done a great job of bringing that team together, and you know, I think he makes pretty good decisions managerial wise, but. You got to have someone to blame if you don't get it done, and Dave Roberts just might be the scapegoat.
Yeah, I think so as well. Because I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong, he has been a great manager. He brought the team back to success, but I mean, he hasn't been able to get over that hump yet. And I think they might have to find somebody that will.
I think also Major League Baseball. I think coaches in that league have a longer leash than a lot of other leagues that you see. You know, we saw Bill O'Brien with the Texans, you know, just get fired.
I mean, he stayed around for what?
I mean, he was around for a while, but, like, once it starts going south, and I know Dodgers, nothing's – I mean, they're in the postseason. They're in the championship series.
I mean, yeah, everyone really consider this going south.
But when you are at a consistent level where you're not really going anywhere and you're not winning championships where this team could have won several this decade. And they haven't. And sometimes, and that relies on, you know, someone who you can scapegoat, and Dave Roberts. So, I mean, this year, it could be it. It might be one of his best teams, too.
Yeah.
Exactly, which is the weird part. Yeah, it's weird because, like, he's kind of the one that gets him there, and then someone else might have to get them over the hump.
Probably is the most dominant Dodgers team that we've seen in a 60-game sample, 43-17.
Just, I mean, they crushed everybody. I just wonder what they would have done with the full 182.
Yeah, so how about the Rays? Rays are currently up 3-2 on Houston. They were up 3-0. As we mentioned, Correa hitting a walk-off home run in Game 5 to be able to force it to a Game 6. I still think the Rays are going to come out with it. I think this is going to be a Red Sox over Yankees 0-4 series.
The reverse sweep?
I think the Astros are going to mute the critics with this one. I think they're going to come back.
I don't know. I applaud the effort, but I mean, I think the Rays pitching is just going to be it's just going to be. Do we know who's pitching? Do we know who's going?
For we have
for Game 6,
Framber Valdez and Blake Snell. That's your matchup on the mound.
I mean, the Rays just have so many guys that they can throw at you. They have so many guys that can throw at you that can give you troubles. I mean, they could start, in reality, whoever, and then you just can't touch some of these dudes.
Right.
Which is exactly why I think that they'll win sooner or later. And the play of Randy Arozarena. I mean, dude's on a tear unlike anything I've ever seen. I mean, he's officially tied the most home runs in a playoffs by a rookie yesterday with a home run, and then he's probably gonna break it at this point. It's been an all time great postseason for him.
Yeah, I think the roster for the Rays and the lineup and pitching is so compelling, and they have a lot of really talented players. But I think the one thing that sets the Astros a little bit apart from the Rays in the series for them to get back and win this in seven games, to a certain extent, they have the experience.
Yeah.
You can put that asterisk next to, you know, the championships, so. But they've been there. They know what it takes. Yes, it was altered a bit, but they've played some of the toughest competition, and they've won. And these guys know, and also they have a chip on their shoulder now.
Which is why I think that, like, that's why they're growing on me. They're growing on me again because they're just proving people wrong. Just like, you know, the chip on their back, and they've been playing great baseball. Just the Rays have been playing better.
And the Astros look for guys like Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman to lead this team and be leaders on that club. But Carlos Correa has also emerged as sort of an unsung leader, quiet, but is able to come and hit a walk-off last game and help his team get to that sixth game.
He's been great the whole postseason. I think he's batting in the 300s with a couple home runs. So I think he's been playing great baseball as of late. I mean, Altuve needs to clean up the errors, and I think they'll be fine. He's had a couple of those over the past two games, but I mean, there's no reason why you can't count the Astros out here.
Yeah, their defense has been better in terms of Altuve and their two wins. I still look at the Rays pitching with Blake Snell going today. I still trust the Rays with their pitching.
I mean, yeah, you know? I trust the Rays too, but there's no reason to say that the Dodgers can't try and take this seven.
You're talking about the Astros.
Astros, yeah. What did I say?
Dodgers. Ain't it kind of crazy though that the Dodgers and the Astros, met in the World Series,
are both down fighting for their lives.
Yeah,
pretty. It's kind of crazy.
Pretty interesting. So that's your MLB. Let's go now to the irrelevant fact of the day. Thank you very much.
The irrelevant fact of the day.
So Ben Roethlisberger, he plays for the Steelers, right? And he's back.
Who?
And he's having a great year. But Ben is playing against the Cleveland Browns. And it's a great thing for Steeler fans, not too great for Cleveland. How about Ben? He is a career 23-2-1 career against the Cleveland Browns. Wow. Get your wows out there.
Wow.
But currently, Ben is no longer the winningest quarterback at Cleveland Stadium. Baker Mayfield has taken over. Ben had the record for the winningest quarterback at Cleveland Stadium, where he played one game a year. And Ben had the record since the Browns have been back in Cleveland.
Could he swing the record back into his favor?
No, because they're not playing in Cleveland.
They're not playing there.
Not
yet.
I like that two-parter. That sort of threw me off.
Kind of throw me off.
You're like, someone else has replaced Ben. And I was thinking of an opposing team, and then you're like, oh, wait.
Johnny Manziel?
It's the Browns. Is their quarterback's actually good?
Brandon Whedon? Tim Couch?
When Baker did they draft Mayfield. Wasn't Brandon Whedon a first-round draft
pick? Yeah, Brandon Whedon, they drafted him. He was like 28, remember?
Yeah, I was like, who's Brandon Whedon?
Brandon Whedon.
Yeah. Where did he even go? I don't remember
Brandon Whedon anymore. He's gone.
So. He had a stint with Dallas, and then that was it.
Yeah. We get a little intellectual today on today's irrelevant fact of the day. See, that's why we have to keep the irrelevant fact of the day.
I think that was my favorite irrelevant fact of the day
so
far.
Well, I'm glad you like it, Nate. And you can take the reins on the next segment. Pitt plays Miami, the Miami Hurricanes. And so
Pitt got rocked like a hurricane last time we played Miami.
They did. So give us the pregame little introduction here, the little fast forward to Miami now. They're top team in the country. What are you thinking?
Pitt easily could have been 5-0. Two back-to-back one-point losses against NC State and Boston College. This Pitt team is doing what it does best. Just
get your hopes up and then let you down.
Mediocre, getting your hopes up in a year that should be a positive year. You have plays like Alex Kessman missing a chip shot, extra point in overtime to end the game. And it was a good ball game, don't get me wrong. And to go into overtime was exciting. Phil Yurkovic, you know, the Pine Ridge native, really showed out that game. But Pitt is sort of just, once again, on this track of finishing 5-6 in the 11-game shortened season. Maybe 6-5 on the other end of things, but they come into Miami, and this is going to be a tough matchup because the Hurricanes, I don't want to say the U is back because people say, oh, Texas is back, and then they stink.
Like the Sam Ellinger meme?
Yeah, Miami was back 3 years ago when they were number two, and then Pitt upset them. But then they had two okay seasons. But this year, they just bring that swagger that, you know, Miami's used to.
Like back to the 90s and 2000s Miami's teams.
I mean, this team has a lot going for them, and I was surprised how bad the route was against Clemson, you know, getting sort of curb stomped. But Clemson just once again reiterating that, are the best in college football.
It's Clemson. I mean, you basically expect them to – I mean, I don't want to say you expect to get crushed by them, but, I mean, it's basically what they do to everybody. They just crush everybody.
Yeah, and then – seeing on college football on Fox posted something, and this entire decade, through the past 10 years, Pitt leads out of any team in losses less than a touchdown with 32 games over 10 years, and half of that's under Pat Narduzzi, and we saw two back-to-back losses by 1 point. So this team is so close, but they're just not getting over the edge.
Pitt is inconsistent. Should be the new statement.
Here's the thing.
Everybody knows Pitt's
inconsistent. Here's the thing. They go and lose to that NC State and Boston College, but who knows? They might beat Miami or Notre Dame. That's just how it is.
On the road.
It's just how it is.
Last year, like, we lose to Miami, and then
they beat UCF.
And then they go beat UCF.
They were at that game.
I was at that game, too.
Everybody was there. That was before the big Breisinger tailgate, I think, right?
The Miami game.
Oh. The Miami game was the Breisinger tailgate.
We won that, too.
Where it was raining
dreary. We won the tailgate, didn't win the game.
Oh, no, we didn't win the game.
Yeah,
we
but
won
also
the UCF game.
The only thing maybe, so Pitt has a really solid defense, still arguably one of the best in college football.
Mm-hmm.
But Kenny Pickett, the number one passing quarterback in college football in terms of yards.
But Dak Prescott is also the leader in passing yards in the NFL.
He's not playing anymore.
We wish Dak the best at that gruesome injury.
Prayers for Dak. I watched it live. I was like, oh my God.
Not the best comparison to be making right now. Uh-oh.
The mystery
caller? Mystery caller time. See, all right,
everybody silence.
All right.
Ready?
All right, mystery caller, before you state your name and everything like that, the boys have to try to guess who you are, okay? So we had a change in the mystery caller. The original mystery caller, who we had scheduled for like a week, bailed. But Old Reliable is here. So give us your guesses.
If it's Old Reliable, it could be Joey.
You think it's Joey?
It could be Joey again.
Nick Terrett.
Oh, you were so close. You had a was Nick. State your name.
Is it Pouch?
Wait, why can't I hear it?
You didn't put it on speaker.
Go ahead.
You didn't put it on speaker.
Nick Pouch.
Pouch.
All the way from Erie. All the Miami of the North.
Boys. Yeah, he's in Miami of the North. Very reliable Pouch here joining us today. So, Pouch, how are you doing? How's the Gannon life treating you up there on the waters of Lake Erie? How cold is it?
How cold is it?
Is it snowing yet?
It's pretty chilly up here. It's not really getting out with the 50.
Yeah, has it snowed up there yet?
I'm surviving.
So, Pouch, how is the Gannon lifestyle? Like, do you have any online classes? Are you all in person? How is Gannon treating it?
So there's a couple classes that are doing like high flex, which is half online, half in person.
Virtual rotation.
Most of my classes are just regular in person, which I enjoy better. Helps me like stay focused more.
Yeah, me too.
Relatable content.
So, Pouch, just as one little note before we get into like the big sports topics, Golbash and Nate are currently 0-4 on their attempts for guesses of the mystery caller.
There's so many names it can be. There's so many names.
Golbash complains every week that there are so many names.
I think next week it's multiple choice.
Give us a multiple choice. I like that. I like multiple choice.
Multiple choice.
I like that.
Pouch, what do you think of that?
Better chance of at least guessing it.
Yeah, that's a good.
Open-ended.
That's a good point. I kind of give him the opportunity to fail like, every
we
week.
We,
right?
we have to pick between like 30 to 20 names. 20 to 30 names.
20 to 30 names, and the list just keeps growing. So, Pouch, give us a question. Lay us on us. That was a really weird sentence. Lay it on us. What do you want to talk about?
So, just yesterday, when the NFL they came out with their power rankings, and they have the Steelers at 4. They have the Seahawks, like, I think 2 below them at 6, or they have them at 5. Do you think the Steelers are better than the Seahawks at this point? Because, frankly, as much as I love the Steelers, as you guys know, I think the Seahawks are heads and toes above
All right, I'll go first.
That's a good one.
I'll go first. Seattle has no offensive line. Their defense, their secondary sucks.
It's shoddy.
Their secondary is really, really bad. You got Shaquille Griffin and I believe Quandre Diggs.
I think it's one of the Diggses.
But I don't trust their defense at all, other than Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. I don't really like their front four. So when I look at it, it's really everybody's just being carried. The whole Seattle team is being carried by Russell Wilson right now. And the offense is going to go as far as he does. And if he keeps up the pace that he's at right now, they're probably going to win the MVP. He's probably going to win the MVP instead of Josh Allen. So I kind of get that. Nate, do you, Golbash, what do you guys think of Seattle and their whole team in general?
I mean, you summed it up perfectly. This team goes as far as Russell Wilson can carry them. And as long as the receiving core can stay healthy, I think they'll be a good team. But do you think they'll be able to come out of what is it, the NFC?
West. I mean,
the West? The West has been one of the best divisions in football over the past couple
besides
years.
Besides the AFC North, this year it's the NFC West that's the next in line of being the best division. And really, Russell Wilson could eventually be your MVP of this year. And like you said, it depends on if people stay healthy, but he sort of makes the most out of any wide receiver that's sort of thrown in there. Because you look at some of the guys that have played, and their backstories before coming into the NFL, like Doug Baldwin and guys like Ty Lockett, even DK Metcalf, who, you know, obviously was a big time.
You can't forget Golden Tate too. People forget about Golden Tate.
He's never had a first place vote for MVP once. Russell Wilson has a big supporter in Jamin White that really wishes that he would throw him an MVP vote. So I want to ask you, Pouch, what do you think? Just you can have your choice of options. NBA Finals with LeBron winning. You can talk about baseball playoffs or Pitt versus Miami. Whatever you want to talk about.
I'm with Pitt versus Miami because, I mean, Pitt's just been disappointing the past couple weeks. So let's talk about if they're going to disappoint us again.
Yeah, Miami's, we were saying earlier, it's 13th in the country. We think that Pitt, we'll get into predictions a little later, but you know, I don't see a very likely great outcome for Pitt. I think they go,
I think they're going to have trouble containing De'Aaron King. I think they're going to have trouble trying to stop him, and
if there's a game this year that they upset for Pitt, it's not this game.
You don't think it's Clemson?
I don't think it's
No.
It's definitely going to be Clemson. They're going to shut down Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne. They're not going to stand a chance.
That's definitely not going to happen. But
it's more. I think it's more like.
So it's either going to be Miami or Notre Dame this year.
I think
I think it's going to be Notre Dame. Shout out. Shout out Thomas.
Yeah, Tommy Allen.
Oh, geez.
We had Tommy on last week. Tommy was last week's mystery caller. So my irrelevant fact of the day today, Pouch, was that Ben Roethlisberger is 23-2-1 all-time versus the Browns, but is not the winningest quarterback in the history of the new Cleveland Stadium anymore. What do you make of that?
I live with a Browns fan, so you can expect that some kind of interesting dynamic. And he actually brought that up to me, I believe it was yesterday. It's kind of funny that, I mean, I guess Cleveland always has been changing quarterbacks for the past, 20-some years. But it is funny that, Ben, who plays one game a year there, was the winningest quarterback before, this last weekend.
Yeah, before Baker. Not having, it wasn't Brandon Whedon or it wasn't Tim Couch or it wasn't
Johnny Manziel
or Deshaun Kaiser.
I mean, what did they see in that dude?
I don't think they had enough wins to even, because you think when they were there, they were still always below 500.
Yeah.
Of course, but.
Yeah,
I find that hilarious that, Ben was the winningest quarterback at that stadium. Sad that era has ended, but it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's, I still think Ben's going to get another win up there this season, week 17. So, I don't know. I do want to...
Actually, it all depends. I think, you never know, Steelers might be already have, their place in the playoffs, pinched, and, maybe they'll have to sit some starters, to keep them healthy. But who knows? It all depends about, how the rest of the season finishes if they're going to sit starters in week 17.
Yeah. One thing I want to ask the boys that are in the room, do we want to keep Pouch on for predictions?
I don't have a problem with that. It's fine.
Nate, keep Pouch on for predictions?
No problem
with
me. All
right, let's start rattling into predictions. Pouch will keep you on the rest of the show through predictions, and then we'll let you go.
What an honor. The first ever mystery caller to stay on the show.
Hey, Pouch is very knowledgeable. That's not to mean that the other guests, the mystery callers that we had, weren't knowledgeable. But Pouch was very helpful.
No, Joey wasn't very knowledgeable at all.
When Joey came on as the first mystery caller.
He wasn't even awake.
He got out of bed 5 minutes before calling into the show.
Hey, I just got off class,
See?
Look at this dedication.
Kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, Pouch is just grinding in class. So the first prediction is Steelers versus Browns. We'll start with Golvash. Who do you got and why?
I got the Lures. I think the Steelers are going to be up for the test against Cleveland's run game, and I think we're going to make Baker Mayfield to pass the ball more than what he normally is used to, and that's when the turnovers are going to start to come, and that's it. It's just going to be – I think it's going to be a landslide. I think it's going to be
31-13.
I'm not going that big of a spread. Here's the thing. The Steelers are very convincing this year, 4-0 so far, but the Browns, for the first time in a long time, are also convincing. It's going to be a lot closer of a game. I honestly think it could go either way. I think it's going to be a 3-point score. A little bit higher, I think you look at it maybe a 34-31 game. But it could go either way. It really could.
Pouch?
This is the first time, in my life that I'm actually scared of a Cleveland team. So, I think it's going to be a passing game because I think both run games are going to be stopped by both teams' front seven. And I think Ben will be able to beat Baker in the air. I think if the secondary for the Steelers comes up to play and is able to force some turnovers on Baker, I think that the Steelers can come out. I think it'll be a 31-20 game going to the Steelers.
Well, we're all riding a lot of 31s for the winning score for the Steelers. I'm also going to say that.
Steelers love putting up 30-plus. They've done it almost every game this season.
Well, they struggled to in games prior to that. I think it was a stretch of 20-some games where they didn't score over 30 points.
Yeah, well, you also had Duck Hodges as your quarterback.
I think the Steelers also win. I think it's going to be 31-27. I think it's going to be a closer game than, I think everybody kind of thinks it's going to be kind of close, especially early. Early on, I think it's going to be a really close game until you get into the fourth quarter. So you see that Steeler fourth quarter football, and you're not going to see the Steelers really – I don't think you're going to see them play down at all. Now, you can't really play down to this Cleveland team because they're good. You would be playing down to the history of what the Browns usually are and represent. And that's why I think the Steelers are going to be up to the task. You've kind of gotten some bulletin board material with the Cleveland Browns players just, you know, kind of hyping up Myles Garrett and really saying, we got his back and we're doing this for him, which, okay.
Yeah, that's a bit weird, especially,
you know, guy you want defending you.
Yeah, especially the circumstances of what actually went down. But I definitely agree with Pouch on, this is going to be, you know, a back-and-forth battle in the air. We're going to see a shootout, I think. And I think most of these scores are going to come by the air.
I think Cleveland's going to do a little bit better than we all think in terms of running the football. But I think once the second half comes along, I think we've seen the whole second half for the Steelers. They're just going to neutralize the run on the defensive side. Let's go to Pitt and Miami now. Nate, start us off. Do you think Pitt has any chance to beat Miami, or are they going to go to 3-3 on the year?
I also think this will be a close game. I think Pitt will hold them at bay, but in the end, Miami's just a better team. Also, Miami's a little bit more consistent than Pitt. I think this one, it's going to be more of a defensive battle, I think, in this game. I'm saying 23-17, Miami wins.
Yeah, I think Miami's going to take this one as well, because I think the front seven's going to have trouble containing De'Ara King since he's so fast and mobile. And I think it's going to be a score of – I mean, the offense is probably going to get stifled by Miami anyway. So I'm saying I think it's going to be 28-14.
In terms of Miami?
In terms of Miami.
All right, Pouch, what do you think is going to happen with the Pitt Panthers traveling to Miami, Florida? Sunny Miami, Florida. Hot Miami.
I think that, you know, we'll get – as they always do, they give us some hope. And then it would just come crashing down. I think it would be a very close game until around the fourth quarter, where I think Miami would just bust it open. And I think maybe in the fourth quarter would be close to like a 3-point game. But like after that, I think Miami is going to win the game, probably something like 34-23.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see that Pitt's going to be able to hold on. I think it's, like I said, like you guys have all said, I think it's going to be kind of close around halftime. Maybe like a 3-point game.
That normally, like Pitt does, they keep it close for like the first half, and then they just fall apart.
I actually think you're going to see some defense in this game, but I have Pitt losing 21-10. I don't think the offense that's been prolific air raid offense this year with Kenny Pickett, I don't really think that they're going to be able to perform that well Miami. So, baseball, playoffs. You see right now the Dodgers are down 3-1 to Atlanta. The Rays are up 3-2 to Houston, but the Astros are threatening, going to a Game 6 tonight. Golvash, what do you think is going to happen in terms of both series? Who goes to the World Series and why?
I think Nate's prediction takes it. I think it's going to be Rays Braves. Did you say Rays Braves, Nate?
No.
Or Dodgers?
I said Houston Braves. And Braves.
No, never mind. I think it's going to be Rays and Braves. I think they're going to close them out.
Are you basing your prediction off of what Nate said on the last week's show?
No. I think that the team, both teams being up with three wins, I mean, it's just you're going to have to play perfect baseball from here on out in order to get it to get seven. I just don't. I mean, both teams are capable of doing it, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I think the Rays and Braves close it out.
All right, Nate.
You know, I'm going to ride with my prediction and stick with the Atlanta Braves moving on, and Houston coming back and completing the reverse sweep. I think if any team can do it, I think it's Houston. I think they have that sort
of
mentality.
They have
that chip on their shoulder. They have the mentality that, hey, we can do it. And they have a lineup that holds to its own, that it can happen.
Really starting to look pretty dangerous if you're a Dodgers guy. Pouch, who do you think?
I'm so surprised at the Dodgers, like, with how bad they've been playing. Like, I thought after that, big win they had in Game 3 that, yesterday they were going to continue that, but they didn't. I think that the Dodgers are going to make it a series. I think it can go to Game 7, but I still think, just with how the Braves have been playing, I think they'll be able to pull it out. And then over in the American League, I just love how the Rays have been playing, especially their pitching. Their pitching has been really good. So I think the Rays are going to take this. I think, honestly, this series is going to end after this next game. So I think it's going to be the Rays and the Braves in the World Series.
Yeah, I don't want to bet against the Dodgers, and I'm going to stick with my prediction. I'm not going to do any amendments right now. I still think that the Dodgers are, I don't know. I just feel like this is the Dodgers team that's going to, that can find a way. I might be completely wrong on that, but that's, I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to say Tampa Bay goes to the World Series as well to face off against the Dodgers. And I feel like,
in the COVID Cup,
I feel like if the Dodgers don't go to the World Series, I feel like the Rays do, I feel like the Rays win.
I think the Rays win as well.
I really do. Okay, now time for our two fun predictions.
I've already heard one.
Predictions and recaps that I threw out there.
I've heard one.
That I threw out there to Golbash. All right, first one, Pouch. I might have talked to you about this last night. I don't remember. Austin announced senior rec. Golbash, how do you think I did?
I think you did well.
Nate, how do you think I did? Nate has no idea.
Doing what?
I announced volleyball senior rec last night.
Did you watch it?
No one watched it.
Then what are you saying? We're predicting that you did right?
We're trying to predict if I did okay, and then I will tell you how I did.
Predicting if you did okay.
You did okay.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you did okay.
How do you, Pouch, you think I did okay? Based on my text messages from last night.
I think you did all right. I'm not going to say you did amazing, but I'm not going to say you did bad either.
Words of wisdom from Coach Kelly. Don't always try to think that you are right. Let other people tell you that you did a good job, and other people did. So I think I did. I think I did okay.
I think I did all right. I don't think I did.
All right, next two predictions, also centered around
you,
me. Which, I mean, if anybody else wants predictions about themselves,
I don't have any predictions.
Right. So, as we did 2 weeks ago, Austin is in his bowling league that takes part tonight. How will I do in bowling tonight? We've bowled before. How do you think I will do? Last week I had a 113,
a 119, and a 119.
But the week before that, I had a 113, a 148, and a 152.
Yeah, you're a pretty decent bowler. I think that you'll do pretty well. I think you'll be your scores from asking. I think you can get into the 120s or even 130s.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give an exact prediction.
Okay, what's your exact prediction?
What I've noticed, the first game is always going to be a 113.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The first game's always going to be a 113. And then the next two scores are going to be in the, as Pouch said, the 120s and 130s.
Oh. Okay, Nate?
I know for a fact that game one is going to be a 113.
Okay.
I'll hover around that median average of you're bowling a 120 through three.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Well, I sure hope I do better. Also, something I'm definitely set up to fail on. I'm supposed to be the play-by-play announcer for the Baldwin football game at Seneca Valley on Saturday morning at noon, and Seneca Valley didn't even know we were showing up. So where is our broadcast going to be set up? We don't even know. Pouch.
But there's going to be a broadcast.
Pouch, how bad is this going to be for me?
I think it'll be pretty bad. If they didn't even know that you guys are showing up, it's going to be a train wreck when you first get there.
We are being set up to fail.
This could, you're being set up for failure. This whole entire thing was set up last minute.
Don't say that too loud. Mr. Saris will yell at me and try to fire me.
If you talk about
it, Mr. Saris last night, the whole entire night was like, you're on your 1 week notice. And I was like, but then he kept coming up to me and saying, I'm just joking. And I was like,
Doesn't sound like you're joking.
But are you?
I don't know. In reality, are you? But yes, you're
funny guy. He jokes.
Yeah, he does.
I mean,
Nate?
I think if there's a game that you have some true technical difficulties, like the broadcast did in, Hollidaysburg? Is that what it was? The first game? It's this game, especially if you don't have a setup ready or a place to go. I mean, who knows how you're going to set this thing up?
I honestly have no idea.
It won't be on your part. It will be on just the setup in general because there's where are you going?
And I don't have stats for Seneca. I don't have much of anything. I have rosters, and I do not have starting lineups.
It's high school football. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get.
That's a bad thing. I have our stats and our lineups, and that's not good enough, but that's it. Pouch, anything else before we let you go?
No. Okay. Yeah,
it's
fun.
Yeah,
fun.
All right, anybody want to say anything to Pouch before we let him go?
Pouch, we miss you.
We miss you, Pouch.
As a collective whole,
as a collective unit,
we do miss you, Pouch.
The unit speaks.
All right, now please leave our radio
Pouch,
show.
Pouch, will there be a Halloween party this year?
Oh, you should ask everybody that.
It's you, I'm coming home if there is one, but...
Pouch will be home. Well, it'll be a small socially distanced gathering.
Yeah, right.
That's fine.
All right, Pouch. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Pouch.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll talk to you soon. Take
please,
care.
Please get off our call. Please get off our show.
There's the tone.
There's the tone.
There it is.
There's the
that
tone.
That was very nice of you, Gulbash.
I know. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice person.
Very nice of you. Some text messages have rolled in on the mystery caller perspective.
Such as?
Who was supposed to be the mystery caller this week texted in and said, I couldn't. But I can't give much away because they're going to be a mystery caller again at some point. I had a text that said, from an inquiry that said, I'll be a mystery caller 1 week.
An inquiry.
No one will guess. No one will be able to guess who I am.
An inquiry.
Someone else texted me and said, I'll work it out. And then someone else texted me and said, I can let you know if I ever can. So looking like we got about 4 or 5 more mystery callers lined up.
We got a month's worth of callers.
Yeah, Nate's trying to look at my phone right now to see who the texts are. He's trying to get a little.
Oh, come on. I can't see through these two plexiglasses. That are
That's a good point. All right. We want to give a shout out to Nick Pouch for coming on the show today and a big thank you. We always start with Goldbash with shout outs, so we'll start it out there.
I don't know if they're listening, but I would like to shout out my whole entire family. Shout out my Aunt Mindy, my Uncle Dan, my Cousin Bailey, my Uncle Jeff, my Aunt Lenny, my Aunt Beth, my Uncle Joe for all tuning in. I love all you guys. Thank you for supporting me. And I would also like to thank, I don't even know if I forgot them, my mother, my father, and my brother. Thank you guys for listening every week and putting up with all that we do. And I'll see you guys in about a half hour.
Nate, go ahead.
I want to do a little bit of a different direction. Whoa. In terms of shout-outs.
A different direction?
Different direction.
What's this going to be about?
So October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Oh, I like this.
Oh, this is going
to
be
good. So thank you guys for jumping to conclusions.
Hey, we didn't know.
I said it was a change of direction.
Anyways, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Shout-out to all the women who have, you know, fought breast cancer awareness, including my Aunt Julie. Shout-out to her. Shout-out to the survivors who have fought strong.
Like my Aunt Karen. We love you, Gaga.
So I just wanted to do a quick shout out on that before the month comes to an end and to make sure you go out and wear your pink throughout the month.
I love that, Nate. That's a great shout out there. I want to shout out my mom, my dad, Baldwin Girls Volleyball for having senior rec last night that
shout
I was able
Muffin.
To announce. Shout out Muffin as always. Shout out Coach Kelly for giving me some nice advice last night. Shout out to Coach E. Falcione. He is battling the coronavirus, my volleyball coach. So I want to wish him well as he battles the coronavirus. He always asks me the link for the show. So I always appreciate any words of advice that he gives me. And for whoever may be out there listening that we don't know about, you know who you are. We really appreciate it, as I say every week. We don't know who's out there listening.
We really don't know
who could be our surprise out there listening. So whoever you may be, we appreciate it. Goldbash, do you have our ending song ready? No.
Yes.
Or is he singing again?
He might have to sing.
I do have a song. I just have to find it.
I thought it would be Roses again.
Preparation's key.
Preparation is key, Goldbash. Look at my notes that I kept today.
Preparation is key.
Look at my notes.
Well, I got it.
Goldbash is singing.
I got it.
Goldbash is singing. Go ahead, Goldbash. Turn up your volume.
To honor Van Halen.
That's a good pick. Baldwin of the Berg this week. We ran a little over. Week 4 of the show. Week 7 of Robert Morris. Semester 1 of sophomore year for us boys. From Baldwin, boys to men, boys to Baldwin, boys to Robert Morris is how we transition.
That didn't even make sense.
No, it did not. But I'm Austin Bechtold.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And I am Andrew Goldbach.
And we'll try to do better next time. We appreciate you listening and have a great weekend.